go, baby.
It's time for the Return of the Empire podcast. 1 hour of all things red and gold. Return of the Empire. Here are your hosts, Sacktown Sports 49ers insider Emil Fragoso and Nate Littlefield.
Emil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield, Return of the Empire. And Nate, I'm standing up today. Because it's time we say it. Cry, Eagles, cry. Ba-ba-ba. Goodbye.
Jeez.
I don't know. I shouldn't probably. I am the reporter. You are the fan. But it gave me so much joy to see the Eagles get hosed in Week 13 of the Niners. Not just defeated, but they got their butts kicked. That's single-handedly what happened. 42-19. Niners, of course, Return of the Empire, Emil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield, Kyle Ledbetter in the back on the ones and twos. We are happy to have you all here and live on the YouTube chat as well. 916-339-1140. Call in, text in if you have any Niners questions, Return of the Empire. Nate, how are you feeling right now?
I'm very happy. I'm very happy with the 49ers. We're talking about jobs not done.
No.
They did what they had to do. They talked a bunch of trash. They backed it up.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. It was amazing. I was screaming. I was so happy. I loved that it wasn't close. Mm-hmm. The Eagles deserved it. I loved their dumb security guard got thrown out. And, you know, you worried that was going to be the spark they needed. It wasn't. They did not show up at full strength. They did not do what they had to do, the Eagles.
No, and obviously their defense is, yes, reeling. They are without a couple people. Zach Cunningham and others a part of that defense. Fletcher Cox did play but was limited in his action with groin strain. At the end of the day, though, the Niners had to go into Philadelphia, and despite putting up negative 6 yards in the first quarter and losing Dre Greenlay, which we'll get to in a second, they put up 42 points and 450 yards of total offense.
That honestly isn't that surprising that the offense was that good. You knew the Eagles' defense. I thought without the rain, it was going to be a higher-scoring game. I really did. I think my final prediction was 31-21. I was close with the Eagles, not very close with the Niners, which is nice.
In a good way.
It was nice that the weather subsided beforehand. I honestly, in the pregame, didn't see any rain or anything. On the TV.
It was in the morning and it just was overcast the rest of the day.
Fantastic.
Yeah. There was a winter storm going through, but I guess it blew more north than Philadelphia at that time, so that helped out as well.
That would have favored the Eagles immensely, even though they could not run the ball. I think the Niners outran them by about 100 yards.
You would be correct. It is exactly 100 yards. 146 to 46.
Yes. So It's just a good old-fashioned smackdown, and I think it may have rattled the Eagles' confidence, the whole team, not only if they have to play the Niners again, but now they got to go play Dallas, which they have their own little silly rivalry with. That whole division, the NFC East, every year it's crazy to watch, and for a while they were all really bad, and that makes me happy because I don't like any teams in that division. I don't like any team that isn't the Niners.
You shouldn't like any team that isn't your team.
Yeah, I don't.
Right?
Well, yeah. I mean, coming from the guy who's half Niners, half Raiders fan.
No, disagree. Don't be a hater. Don't police people's sports fandoms. It's fine.
Yeah, mister, I used to be a Charger, now a Chief fan.
Let's not get into Kyle's beliefs. Because they're all over the place.
They're all over the place. My sports fandom, the joy was taken away from me at a young age with sports fandom.
It was. Yeah. You saw the Padres, though, so that's fine.
Yeah, after 15 years of them missing the playoffs.
The depression makes me feel something in sports. And that can be nice sometimes.
But you're not depressed right now.
I'm not depressed right now, but
it's an emotional roll.
I've been through the bad years.
Like, he's been through Jim Tomsula.
The bad years is one thing, but losing at the pinnacle is the worst. I've seen it twice. It is the worst thing.
Mm-hmm.
I hate Super Bowl parties. I don't enjoy them.
What do you mean?
I hate watch. I'm not watching the Super Bowl if the Niners are in it with people. I've done it twice. Oh. It's a nightmare, and I don't care. It doesn't matter. They lost. I will put myself in a box and prevent anybody from watching the Super Bowl with me if the Niners are in it.
So the
besides my father.
So
and Kayla, of course.
Hypothetically. I'm jumping the gun here a little bit.
Okay.
If the Niners make it to Vegas this year, which is what the Super Bowl is this year, if they make it to Vegas, you will be in a room, in a dark room, like just holding like prayer beads and just praying that the Niners get through?
Yeah, so I think a lot of people think that the Super Bowl is a party because it kind of is the unofficial American holiday, right? We're talking Super Bowl here. The Niners won one regular season game. I get that.
Yeah.
But the Niners look good. They're the best team in football
right
now.
It's not even a question. It really isn't.
It's hard to debate that.
Because the two other teams suck.
Yeah. We're going to play hypotheticals.
Yeah.
For me as the fan, yes. It's either going to be... Because people think the Super Bowl is a party, and it is for a lot of people. A lot of people don't know it. They want to ask questions. They want to watch the commercials, and that's all fine. All the halftime stuff, that's fine. But I truly love this sport, and I don't want to deal with all the extra crud. Okay?
The questions drive me crazy.
Listen, whatever, dude. Whatever. I like the food. That's fine. But I want to watch the game. I care about this sport so much. I care about the 49ers so much. I don't want to mess. I don't want to mess it up. No. I don't want to mess.
Someone whose team has been in the Super Bowl three of the last 4 years, I agree.
That's not your team.
It's not your team.
But
you're a Mahomes fan. You're not a Chiefs fan.
I need to watch the game alone in the comfort of the people.
No, I understand.
That's the most important to me, where I need to stay consistent. You know, I haven't done that all season. I've basically boxed out family members that want to watch games with me.
Wow.
Just because it's too much. It's too much, and it's not personal. I was late to my grandpa's 80th birthday because I was watching this game. I think maybe some people were upset about that, but I have a great excuse that it's my job.
Wasn't that the Bucks game, too?
Yeah.
Like, of all the games, that was, like, the one you could have missed the second half of.
No.
You just don't. It's my job. You know, we had to record there's too many factors.
He was on the road. It was for Thanksgiving and the holidays, all this stuff.
Yeah. What I'm trying to say is, when the Niners get in the Super Bowl, I will not be watching with a big group. I don't enjoy that.
I respect it.
I want to watch the Niners crush whoever it is.
Lose to Patrick Mahomes.
Shut up. Shut up.
Okay, I'm going to say it right now.
Shut
up. The Chiefs are not making the Super Bowl this year.
Whatever.
It's not happening.
Kyle, don't say things like that. I hate it. I hate it so much.
You're triggering him so hard.
I
know. That's why I keep poking.
Yeah, and it's not funny. And it's not. And I'm going to produce the show by myself, I think. I think that's what we're going to
move forward.
I think that's where we're
going.
Go
behind the glass.
That's where we're going,
out.
I guess.
Yeah.
That's where we're headed. If he's going to say things like that and play low lights.
How many strikes does Kyle have?
7.
Oh, well,
seven strikes.
I'm going to go for 8.
Cool. Real funny. Anyways, Niners beat up the Eagles real well. Debo talked so much trash. I said in the pre-show that Debo looks at, which he's done this before.
Yes.
He looked at Ayuk, not this exact thing, but he looks at Ayuk in the huddle, and he goes, meet me in the end zone.
Yes.
And that, I believe, was a screen pass, or was it the slant?
It was a screen pass. It was the nail in the coffin.
And sure enough, Ayuk comes down there like Patrick Starr, flailed out, just flopping all over the place.
How about Debo waving goodbye to the Philly fans after Juwan Jennings' touchdown?
He waved goodbye a few times.
Yeah, he did.
He told him to be quiet. What I do want to talk about really quick is the first quarter for the Niners. First two drives, essentially. So, Eagles get the ball to start, which ended up being a blessing for the Niners because they got the ball second half. The Niners kept the Eagles to field goals for both those two drives that they had, the first two drives.
Yes.
That is crucial. The Niners, defense locked up. You have to acknowledge Charvarius' Ward pass breakup on A.J. Brown to prevent a touchdown.
4 pass breakups in the day, by the way, Charvarius Ward.
He's been elite.
He's been great.
He's been elite.
A Pro Bowler.
He's been a Pro Bowler the last 2 weeks. Will he be a Pro Bowler? I don't know. I know he's had issues this year. He's had some dumb penalties. He has not had dumb penalties in the last 2 weeks.
I know.
He is coming into form at the perfect time.
Yeah.
The Niners secondary as a whole looked amazing.
You know who else is coming into form right now for the secondary? Ambry Thomas.
I know.
Out of all people.
Yeah.
Ambry.
It's fantastic. That is a really good receiving core.
Yeah.
The Niners, couldn't really get to Jalen Hurts. They got three sacks, right? They had three sacks on the Eagles. And Jalen Hurts, there's several times. There's one where Jalen Hurts just tripped over himself, and then Javon Kinlaw got the sack. Several times where he's standing there pointing out his guys.
Yep.
He's got all day. And we're yelling at the TV going, you can't let that happen. Turns out you could let that happen. It didn't matter.
There were so many coverage sacks. Like, it was one of the culminations for the Niners, which is having their secondary play with their front end. And it felt like the last 2-3 weeks, especially since the bye week, that's happened. Yep. Where the whole defense is clicking. It's not just one part of the defense doing a good job and the other part lacking. Or the back end doing well and the front end lacking. The whole team feels like it's playing well together right now. And yes, the Eagles have one of the better offensive lines in the NFL. Lane Johnson did play and did do an admirable job. But at the end of the day, Chase Young and the boys were super close to getting Jalen Hurts a bajillion times.
Yeah. It was scary for sure those first couple times to see him wind up. But I gotta get into these first two Niners drives in this first segment.
Yes.
I wasn't that worried. I think traditionally I'd be a little bit more worried. I was comfortable, especially with the fact that they held them to those two field goals.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew the defense was locking in. You can't have the defense on the field the whole game. We talk about this every week. Time of possession is huge. What's the balance that you want?
Do you know what time of possession was in the first quarter?
I do not.
It was 13 minutes to 2.
Yeah, and that makes sense. Because the Niners, two minutes makes sense. Because the Niners threw the ball a bunch.
And then went three and out both times.
That was an issue I had. So this first possession they had for -2 yards, the whole possession, three plays, pass incomplete, Brock sacked, pass incomplete, punt. All right, fine. Eagles go down, get another field goal. All right, Niners are still in it. You're thinking if they can get a touchdown, they can take the lead. As long as Mooney hits that extra point, which he's been great.
He's been perfect since the bye.
Mm-hmm. And we're happy about it. Next drive, it starts out. This is where I was like, Debo, end around, -4 yards. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Debo's trash talking. Oh, no. Debo just lost 4 yards. And you know they're saying stuff to him right
there.
Oh,
yeah,
you know they're saying, after Sirianni's playing their trash talk, you know it's not good. You know that's not great. Okay, so your fancy little run didn't work. Brock Purdy's going to go back to pass. Second and long. Second and 14. Incomplete. Not good. That was the behind the George Kittle. Could have been an interception.
Could have.
By the way, no turnovers this entire game. Kind of shocking.
For Brock Purdy or
for anybody.
I know. It was
no turnovers at all.
Especially in bad weather.
Just nothing. Yeah, I guess, apparently it wasn't that bad.
It was still misty, it was still cloudy, it was still kind of a wet field.
Yeah, so we get that, and then, okay, third and 14, you pretty much have to pass. You can do a screen, you draw, whatever, right? Like, not a lot of options. I think the idea was there, live to fight another day, even though you probably seat probably starts to get a little warm, right? Okay, incomplete pass, nothing. Another punt. Eagles get the ball back. That turns out to be a three and out punt. They kind of shoot themselves in the foot. They have a false start, whatever. Niners get the ball. I understand I'm doing a breakdown here of play-by-play. Sorry.
No, I like it. This is great for me.
So then Niners get the ball, immediately run. I'm stoked that they run the ball on first down, which I like. No gain. And it's like, oh, no, just nothing's working right now. That's not good. Get into the shotgun. False start, Burford. Back five. Second and 15. And you're like, dude, what are we? We're shooting ourselves in the foot. I'm starting to get worried now because it's like we can't play like this.
Nope.
If the defense holds up like this, you still can't play like this because you're not getting yards. Mm-hmm. You're not getting yards. Anyways, we're into the second quarter by now. We're into the second quarter at the start of this possession. Mm-hmm. Second and 15. Brock, short pass right to Ayuk, gains a decent amount, 12 yards. That's on Darius Slay. That's awesome. So you set up a third and short, and you're happy about that, and you're like, okay, I wonder if they're going to go for the run again. They're going to give the run a shot. This would be the third run play of the game. Brock Purdy passing into Ayuk, 9 yards, first down, and then from there, it starts churning. However, how I say that, the next play was McCaffrey up the middle for nothing. Then you get a short pass to Debo, 13, and okay, right there is where it starts rolling.
Yep.
McCaffrey, left end. That's where the left end starts, 11 yards. Rest of the game, he's running up the left side. Then it's Kittle for 32 yards. He breaks away. They kind of fake that short pass.
That was such a beautiful play design, the leak out, because it was literally going off of last year when Reddick tore Brock Purdy's elbow.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, we have to chip Hassan Reddick coming off the edge, but instead of just chipping him, George Kittle chipped him and then just leaked out, and Brock just floated over the top. It was perfect because they knew that he was already deep out with the other corners.
It's definitely one of those situations, too, where, which is most of the time when you're playing the Niners offense, where you're watching everyone else.
Yeah.
You're watching everyone else. So somehow, you probably ask yourself as an Eagles fan, how does George Kittle get open like that? And it's because of the scheming. It's because of Kyle Shanahan.
The wizard.
And not just Brock Purdy, but these two, right? It's these two faking out one play and sneaking your guy out the back who's, you know, you can't even say your best player. Like, what? I mean, just amazing. Just top tier talent.
I don't know. But you know what I do know? We have to go to a break,
yeah,
unfortunately.
You do.
We have to go to a break. But yeah, stay here, YouTube chat. Anyone who's listening, go to the YouTube. We stay live during the breaks here on Return of the Empire. Milt Fregoso, Nate Littlefield. We'll be back after the break talking all things Niners. What is new in 49ers land? Because they have signed someone today. They've also released someone as well. And there are a couple injuries we have to talk about, but that'll be next after the break. Return of the Empire, Sacktown Sports. Be back in a moment.
Welcome back to the Return of the Empire podcast.
With Emil Fregoso and Nate Littlefield.
On the Philly 12-yard line, Ayuk goes in long motion left. It's Eli Mitchell now in, but it's an end around to Deebo Samuel coming right. Turns the corner and goes into the end zone. Touchdown! San Francisco!
What a play to catch a defense that's trying like heck to make a play. Misdirection, reverse. Reddick takes the bait the whole way.
Yep, that was, I believe, Debo's first touchdown of three on the day. Finished with 138 total yards on only seven touches. I mean, Deebo, special talent. But you know who else is a special person, a special talent in our lives?
Who's that?
Our caller that's calling in. Tin, I believe, is calling in. Is that correct, Kyle? Tin is calling in. Tin, are you on the line?
Yeah, hey, man, I got to be honest, man. I'm being kind of disrespectful right now, man. I'm looking up YouTube. I pulled up Netflix at first, and I was like, no, I shouldn't do that. So I'm trying to pull you guys up, man, on the big screen while I'm talking to you guys on the phone. But, hey, how are you guys doing?
What's up, Tin?
Hey, Kings. I mean, not the Kings, but the Niners, dude. What the freak? They went off on the Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. They're cooking.
Yeah. We're pretty stoked about it. Thanks, Tin. Thanks for calling in just for your positive words.
I appreciate you, Tin.
We appreciate
Tin always. And anyone else, 916-1340, call in,
even
questions,
if you
answers.
Just want to make fun of me, the way I look or anything, just
if you
call want to
make
in.
Fun of our stupid on, faces, feel
yeah,
free.
Get on the YouTube chat. We stay live in the breaks.
We do.
We do have some, not breaking news, but news that happened today with the Niners. This is more up your alley. I kind of hogged that first segment. So
you want me to go?
Well, Ty Davis Price was released. Niners' third-round pick?
From last year, marks 2 years in a row the Niners have cut third-round running backs.
Yeah.
Trey Sermon and then Ty Davis Price, who, unfortunately, there's too many mouths to feed. The running backs have stayed healthy most of the season, knock on wood, obviously. So with the lineup and the depth they have right now, it's Christian McCaffrey, Elijah Mitchell, and then it is Jordan Mason.
I love that.
It's great.
Like, I'm so fine with that.
Ty Davis Price hopefully will find a new home in the NFL. We wish him the best of luck. I know Trey Sermon, I think, had a couple carries this week, actually, with the Colts, I believe.
He was with the Eagles shortly, wasn't he?
He was. He didn't play much.
Yeah.
But we wish Ty Davis Price the best. But the Niners, to make room, they had to cut Ty Davis Price. Why would they cut Ty Davis Price? Because they signed Logan Ryan. Veteran, safety/corner, a nice depth add, a Super Bowl, two-time Super Bowl winner, is now on the 49ers, a one-year deal.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not too much to say. I mean,
it's a
great veteran leadership. I'm still waiting for, I don't even think we've mentioned this on the show, Jason Verrett.
He's not signing.
Not at all?
Not now that they signed Logan, I don't think so. So Jason Verrett wants an actual deal, and they want to sign to a practice squad.
Oh, okay. So it's, he wants like a
different,
vet minimum.
It's different
one
in
year.
Pay. It's difference
yeah.
in pay, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. It's like $5 million versus.
That's what
like
I had been hearing.
1.5.
Unfortunately, they can't get it going. They wanted to sign him, but he wants to be on the active roster. He doesn't want to be in the practice squad. Okay. It's different level of pay.
Yeah, I mean, moves like this late in the season don't do too much.
Respectfully, though.
Like, okay.
I think Logan Ryan's a better ad
than
Jason Verrett.
Oh, okay.
I really do. I think Logan.
How old is he?
Logan Ryan?
Yeah,
32, about to turn 33.
Okay.
I think he still has a lot to give. This is a player who last played, I believe, in Tampa Bay in 2022. Played 9 games, 6 starts, 37 tackles, 1 forced fumble, an interception. But this is also a guy in 2021, when he was playing for the Giants, had 117 tackles. So we're not that far removed from this guy being a very valuable member of the secondary and of the safety class, which the Niners need after losing Talanoa Funga and George Odom.
Yeah, I didn't expect this, but I'm happy with the secondary right now.
What a surprise.
Yeah, it is a surprise. I'm actually more than happy. I'm impressed with the secondary.
You're enthralled.
I'm enthralled, especially after this week. I mean, not too much you can say about them. They played hard. Maybe a couple calls that should have gone the Eagles' way defensively, but 50-50 kind of toss-up PI stuff. A call I will say that maybe the refs missed was Ronnie Bell. Holding
a little bit.
Okay. If you want to be upset about that, that's fine. Yeah. I'm not upset if you're upset.
Yeah, and like Alex has said in the YouTube chat, too much risk after the physical and the workout. I believe he's referring to Jason Verrett. Yes, that's correct.
So next thing I want to get into is the MVP race. I think I might have a hot take on this.
Ooh.
So I'm looking at the MVP voting, and this has changed from this morning. I always preface this, depending where you look. Looking at Caesars right now, Dak Prescott is +325, making Brock Purdy number one, which is +280. But Vegas Insider is a website that kind of culminates all the odds and lists the order of MVP or whatever, like favorite to win the Super Bowl, all that stuff. Earlier today, Brock Purdy was number one. Dak is number one now, so money's moving. Back and forth, a lot of similarities.
Dak leads the NFL in passing yards. I understand it.
Yeah. There's a lot of stats. You ask Lombardi, he'll find you enough stats to prove why Brock should be MVP.
There's plenty of stats to prove why.
There are, yeah.
There's
and that's
a statistical
why he's
case for both.
Yeah.
There is, yes. I don't believe in Dak, but that's a personal bias. It's what it is.
Mm-hmm. We'll see what he does against the Eagles, because that's going to have a drastic impact, even winning or losing.
I know. But a lot of Niner fans are going to be Dallas fans this week.
Don't say fans. Might be
rooting hoping. For it. Rooting for
I think it's more hoping that the Eagles lose.
Rooting for a 0-0 tie.
Huh. Is that they need a loss?
No, because then we need the Eagles to lose.
So you are Cowboys fans.
That's what I'm saying.
Not Cowboys fans. I'm rooting for the Eagles to lose.
This is a one-time hall pass for you.
I get. I wanted the Cowboys to beat them earlier too in the year, but whatever. Regardless, don't need to get into logistics of that.
With Brock Purdy
MVP.
Yeah, the MVP. I don't care if he wins MVP. I don't care. Nice. I'm sure he cares, but not that much. Like,
he doesn't care.
Dude, I don't care. I want a Super Bowl. Yeah. I want a Super Bowl. I actually have a stat right here. Give me 1 second. Let me pull this stat up.
While you do that, I will let you know that you are correct in that assessment, that Brock Purdy doesn't care. Because Deebo Samuel went up at Adams this morning with Kay Adams and literally said, because Kay asked Deebo, why do you think Brock Purdy should be the MVP? And Deebo goes, he honestly doesn't even really care about that. What we really care about is going in there in February and getting the Lombardi Trophy. That's what we care about. That's all that matters.
You got time to win MVPs later.
He's 23.
Yeah, he's got time. He's got time to win more Super Bowls.
Also, whoever wins MVP this year is probably going to go down as like the weakest MVP winner in the last 10 years.
It's been a weak year.
Here's a fun stat for you. When, besides last year, when was the last MVP to win the Super Bowl?
I know the answer, so I'll recluse myself.
I feel like this is a trick question. 2012?
No, because that was Adrian Peterson. Let's just go through the list. So, Mahomes last year, this is a rarity, winning the MVP in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So then you have Aaron Rodgers. No.
Nope.
Aaron Rodgers.
Nope.
No. Lamar Jackson. No.
Nope.
Mahomes.
Nope.
No. Tom Brady. No. Nope. That was the Eagles year. Matt Ryan. No.
Nope.
No.
We know what happened.
Yep. So I'm honestly a little worried about that.
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning. No. Nope.
Nope.
Adrian Peterson. No.
Nope. Nope.
Aaron Rodgers.
Nope.
Nope.
That was the 15-1 year.
Yep. Tom Brady.
Nope.
Nope.
Peyton Manning. Nope.
Nope.
Peyton Manning. Nope.
Nope. Nope.
Tom Brady. Yes. No. That was
nope.
the.
That was
no.
the. That was the 18-0 team
nope.
that lost.
Nope.
Yep.
LaDainian. We're in 2006 now. By the way,
I'm counting.
Nope. LT. No. Sean Alexander. No. Peyton Manning, 04? No. Steve McNair? No. Peyton Manning? No. Rich Gannon? No. Kurt Warner? Yes.
No.
No?
That was 01. They lost to New England.
I think 2000. Marshall Faulk was the last MVP to win the Super Bowl then.
Wow. 2000. For reference, that was the year I was born.
Wait, and that's a running back.
Who won it the year before that?
Kurt Warner.
I think that's the one.
It's Kurt, Marshall, Kurt.
No, 2000 was the year that the Giants won the Super Bowl. It's 99 Kurt Warner.
No, the Ravens. The Ravens, you mean.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I meant. 99 Kurt Warner was the answer. Because this was a this was a quiz question when Mahomes made the Super Bowl last year. 99 Kurt Warner.
99.
So?
99?
Probably don't want
But it's also weird that like 8 of them made the Super Bowl and lost.
It's not that weird.
That's really interesting that they were MVPs were 0-8 for a stretch in the Super Bowl.
It's just shocking.
It's weird. I mean,
it's definitely shocking.
Just some to
that's a good stat though.
It's
that's one I did not know.
I botched it about 6 times.
No, it's okay.
But it is a super tough. Like Russell Wilson was never in the mix during the Legion of Boom and stuff.
Cuz it was never Russell Wilson doing all the work.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Kind of similar argument to Brock Purdy. Why people don't give Brock Purdy his love sometimes is because it isn't always just him doing the work. It's his playmakers.
But the numbers are so good with Brock Purdy that it's hard to ignore it at this point.
It is. I mean, he's literally number one in almost every statistical category. Passer rating, completion percentage, touchdown per attempt, yards per completion.
If he's not number one, he's 2 or 3 behind Dak
number
Prescott.
Number 4 in touchdowns. I believe number 3 or 4 in yards. Yeah.
All I'm saying is that I don't need that this year. I need to see the Niners win a Super Bowl so I can die peacefully. That's what I need to see.
That might happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it might require Dak to win MVP.
I don't care. I do not care about that.
Emil and I talked about this yesterday. Do you know who the QBR leaders in the NFL right now are?
They're tied.
75.6. Dead tie between Dak Prescott and Brock
Dak Purdy.
Don't
care
about
it.
The percentage as well. Purdy has the edge at 70.2 while Dak is at 70.1.
Yeah.
It's literally neck and neck.
Yeah. Not much more I have to say about that. Don't care about MVP, want Super Bowl. Don't care about MVP, but want Super Bowl.
Let me ask you another question then. Is Brock Purdy the most valuable person on that team, or is it someone, I don't know, Christian McCaffrey is more valuable to that offense?
That's not an answer I want to find out. This is a question that's asked every minute of every day about the 49ers.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, the quarterback is just so valuable. It's like it's not a fair question with an easy answer, and that's why it's asked so much. So it's incredibly difficult.
Well, I made the case for both this week in one of my articles for both Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey.
Where can they find those articles?
At SackdownSports.com. If you don't know, now you know. I write a lot about the Niners. Anyway, since McCaffrey has joined the 49ers, San Francisco was 21-5. McCaffrey has 30 total touchdowns in those 26 games, including the playoffs. Additionally, he has 1,032 yards rushing this year, 200 more than the next ball carrier, which is Derrick Henry. Additionally, he is also the first 49er since 2014, Frank Gore, to have 1,000 rushing yards in a season.
Shout out, Frank. Who was at the game, by the way.
He was.
I saw him back
and gave
there.
Him a stamp of
and
approval.
And I think he wore all black, too.
He did. They were all dressed for the funeral.
Yeah, they were dressed.
The point being is that both people have a case. Yes, it usually is a quarterback award, and I don't think McCaffrey is going to win it this year.
No.
But McCaffrey does have a standing argument of, like, who is more valuable on this team? McCaffrey, everything has changed since McCaffrey's been part of that offense.
Yeah.
That sucks so much because McCaffrey probably won't win Offensive Player of the Year either.
Which is unfortunate.
That's crazy. Tariq Hill's going to go for 2,000 yards, so he's probably going to get that award. Yeah. That's crazy that McCaffrey, with all the production he's had this year, is going to get left out of any kind of like accolade or mention, other than like All Pro, which is, you know, a thing he's done before.
But he also got skimmed out of that last year and Comeback Player of the Year because Geno Smith had to win it for some reason. It is what it is.
Do you want to talk about Eric Armstead's achievement?
Yeah. Eric Armstead, we haven't gotten to that yet. Eric Armstead, 4th year in a row, named the nominated for Walter Payton Man of the Year. Congratulations to Eric Armstead. Big round of applause for
Elk
Eric
Grove,
Armstead.
Local.
Sacramento native, just a wonderful human being. Him and his wife, Mindy, do a lot of great humanitarian work with prisoners, with the youth and children in literacy and reading. Wonderful human. One of the tallest people you will ever meet at 6'7". Could have played basketball, but one of the nicest people in the world. Eric Armstead, you can check out my interview at SacktownSports.com with Eric about his humanitarian efforts from last season. They are pretty much the same, but he's also added on some more stuff as well and started his own podcast on Tidal, which you can check out, 3rd and Long. On the Tidal Network.
I'm seeing that everywhere. But they, you know, algorithms got me because, you know.
It's a great podcast.
I'm a sucker for the 49ers. Yeah. What can I say? Something I want to talk about in the last segment I didn't really get to. Steve Wilkes sideline. I think that was the game changer.
Really? Really? You, for the emotional squad of the 49ers, you thought bringing your coach down was a good idea. Of course it was.
Yeah, so that was big. There's been no talk about Jair Brown, really. No one's been talking about Jair Brown since he's had to step in for Huff. Mm-hmm. He's done a great job.
Jair?
Yeah, Jair. Yeah.
He's been decent. He's missed a couple tackles, including the A.J. Brown one in the beginning, the first quarter.
Yeah, sure. You're right. It's A.J. Brown.
There's a reason they signed Logan Ryan today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, especially when we saw when Tashaun got hurt for those few plays, they had to bring in Isaiah Oliver at safety. They're very slim pickings back there right now.
I do want to play, Kyle, if you have that audio. We're talking about corners here. I would like everybody to hear, if you didn't get to hear it, the radio call for the Lenore hit.
Yes.
There's a little shade I think Greg Papa takes at the end that I think people will really enjoy. If you have it.
If Kyle has it.
It's fine, though, if you don't.
Or just keep
it's buffering.
We'll just keep vamping.
Oh, that's annoying. But Lenore, that
if you didn't see Lenore hit, man, that was dirty. That was just so dirty.
It was clean. It was a clean hit.
Yeah, dirty clean. Like it was, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, it wasn't like an illegal hit or anything. He hit him with the shoulder pad, but he flatlined him. Like, completely flatlined DeAndre Swift.
Like, the most...
Send him back into a whole other era, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, the most, I mean, clean, hard hit you can have, pretty much.
Right back to the era story. Anyway. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Poor internet. Anyway.
Yeah, anyways. I mean, number one seed for the Niners. We kind of touched on this briefly, but well, let's just say they can clinch a playoff berth this week with a win.
Yes.
Plus a Green Bay loss.
Yes.
Or a Minnesota loss. Or they tie each other. So they play each other, right? Green Bay and Minnesota this
week? I believe
they
do, yes.
Yeah. Well, either way, if they tie, Niners will lock in a playoff spot. I think that's kind of...
they do, yes.
Forsaken at this point. Next segment, we're going to get into the NFC West stuff. And if you win the NFC West, you're in.
Well, there's just a lot of different scenarios, obviously. There's just a lot of different scenarios. And we had to go to a break, unfortunately, but we are going to talk about those scenarios. And then we're going to stay live on the YouTube chat as well, at Sacktown Sports on the YouTube, 1140. Emil Fergoso, Nate Littlefield, Kyle Ledbetter. We'll be back with the Turn of the Empire in just a moment.
Welcome back to the Return of the Empire podcast
with Emil Fergoso and Nate Littlefield.
First and 10 Niners in the Philly 48. Purdy looks left, now middle, throws, caught. Broken tackle by Debo Samuel, runs for a first down, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! San Francisco!
What an absolute beast, Debo Samuel. The throw is on time. It's Debo Samuel. He is working a crossing route over the middle of the field. Nick Morrow just bounces off 19. Debo says, I'm going north and south. I am going to hit the gas pedal, and just carries Darius Slay into the end zone.
I don't think I've ever seen him run faster.
Yep, Debo Samuel is a beast. That boy's been in the weight room. He had an incredible offseason after proclaiming this 2022 season was awful by every aspect for him personally. Not for the team. For him personally. And he was correct, because Debo Samuel has come back with the vengeance, just like the song you're hearing right now, which we
Revenge of the, from Revenge of the Sith? Is that what you're trying to say?
No. Yes.
This is from this is
Darth
Maul.
This is Phantom Menace, isn't
yeah,
it?
This,
oh,
this,
yeah.
This is Phantom
right.
Menace, yes.
Not, yeah.
This is Darth Maul.
Where's Ryan Cotta when you need him?
I know. Where's Ryan Cotta? Anyway, Niners have a chance, because this is week 3, I believe, of the Dirty Bird Gauntlet for the Niners.
Yeah, you would believe correctly.
I am correct there.
You're believing correct, yes.
Wow, what would have thought? Niners are playing the Seahawks this week in a rematch of what happened 2 weeks ago on Thanksgiving, and yet it feels like the Niners are heavy favorites, and they probably should be, but...
Last time I saw 10.5.
They were at 12.5 when they opened.
Oh, that's crazy.
Is that worrisome?
For the Seahawks.
Seahawks
should be worried.
Should we worry at all that the Niners are being favored too much, chat? Should we worry at all, people listening at home, that the Niners are favored by more than a touchdown against... Yes, it is the Seahawks, and they are on a skid right now, 6-6 on the season. They had a really good game against the Cowboys, 35-41 on Thursday Night Football. They're on 10 days rest. Similar to how the Niners went in from Thanksgiving into the Philadelphia, now the Seahawks have an extra couple of days off, and they're going to go in to Levi Stadium and possibly beat the Niners. I don't think it'll happen, but at least there's a blueprint for them offensively of what happened against Dallas.
The only reason I think Seattle's going to win is because before this, coming off the the bye or something? Didn't we do a week check-in, midway season check-in?
We did.
To guess the record? I said in these three games, the Seahawks 2 and the Eagles 1, that the Niners would go 2-1, and I didn't specify which game was which. So that's the only reason, is that I jinxed
I think
the
I went 2-1 as well, and I picked the Eagles loss.
No, you went 1-2.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I picked Thanksgiving. And you had the Eagles. That's right. Yeah, yeah. I did pick Thanksgiving.
Yeah. No, you
didn't. I was wrong, and I'm glad I'm
remember
wrong.
Remember when Emil said the Niners were going to be 10-7? That's crazy.
I did, but frankly, okay, let's be clear.
Frankie,
I love Frank Carselli. Anyway, let's be clear here, Kyle. When have the Niners, knock on wood, ever been this healthy going into the back end of a season?
I don't know, Jim.
That's the point. And when the Niners are healthy, the Niners have Trent Williams, Debo Samuel, the Niners are the best team in football. They're usually not this healthy. They did get banged up going into this week. We'll get into the injuries in just a second. But the Niners are in a really good spot going against Seattle for the second time in 3 weeks.
Yeah, Alex in the chat's talking about the weather, too. Probably not going to be a factor, saying that it's, you know, rain this week and then overcast, we're rocking. So
yeah, they got through Philly. It's fine.
Yeah. The issue that, if I'm being realistic now, I'm not super worried about that jinx. My issue is that Seattle's getting desperate. They're losing their grip on the playoffs.
Kitchen sink time.
The Rams are starting to sneak up on, well, not, they're there. They're right there. So
6-6.
I'm legit worried about the Rams a little. Legit. Like, I think the Rams could be a real threat. Great receivers, like I said before. Stafford, great coaching.
If he can just stay healthy, yeah.
Yeah, Aaron Donald's still in defense, so.
Not a team you want to see in the wild card.
No, and they have to see it in the last week of the season, which hopefully Nate will be at that game.
I think so.
On the last week of the season.
We're really hoping.
We're working on it.
We're punching
it's
the numbers.
It's been a good day for Nate, man.
Yeah.
It's been a great day for Nate.
Yeah, we don't have to get into that.
Yeah.
Now you threw me off, because now.
That's my job, is to throw you off.
That's true.
But anyway, let's get to injuries. Right? Because we have a couple injuries, unfortunately, for the Niners. And the biggest one is Eric Armstead. He is dealing with a foot and knee issue. Now, the knee issue was new coming off of week 13 against the Eagles. He had already gone into week 13 banged up with the foot issue. We don't know if it was plantar fasciitis like it was last season where he missed half the year. We do know it was a foot ailment and that he wasn't able to practice Wednesday and Thursday last week, was able to work Friday, and was definitely not 100% against the Eagles, but he wanted to push through and get through his treatment and all that stuff and just get to the game. Well, he came in Monday complaining of a knee and a foot issue, so now his status is TBD until tomorrow.
Which sucks, because is he having his best season? It feels like it. As I think Eric Armstead, I mean, he's just playing lights out. And maybe it's because he had a down year last year. Seeing him back like this at full force next to Hargrave every snap, next to Chase Young, next to Nick Bosa is awesome.
He's been excellent this year.
He has been fantastic.
Amen.
Losing him would be key. But Seattle's still a little banged up, even if they're at full strength, though.
They got Abraham Cross back, or Abraham Lucas, that Charles Cross is their left
side. That's fine. Is Kenneth Walker back?
I believe he's working back. I don't know if he's back yet.
Yeah, so, I mean, chance of him coming back against the Niners. I think the 10.5 spread that I'm seeing right now on Bleacher Report is a little big. Divisional games scare me every
time. They should.
Last year, the Niners went 6-0 in the division. I think it's the first time I've ever seen that as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to say before the season started that they were going to do it again. They're kind of on track to right now.
Yeah.
I'm scared. I have scars from Philadelphia. Jeez.
How scars?
They're still in my mind.
How
but
scars?
I have scars from Seattle.
Oh.
And they could be, you know, they got something to prove. They're desperate, which is scary. Pete Carroll. Said it before, I don't like saying it, don't like acknowledging it. He's a good coach.
He is.
They're a good front office.
They're a well-run team.
Mm-hmm.
They are. They
so
just are.
There should be a legit fear of the Seahawks this weekend. I think there's a good case for them to be in the mix, for sure.
And update on Kenneth Walker, he is questionable currently, coming off the Monday bonus
practice. He is working back.
Yeah, Carroll said could play.
Could. Mm-hmm. Could's a big word.
Yeah, I mean, that's that coach, like, you know.
It's coach speak.
Yeah, so. I don't know. I'm a little worried. Yeah.
No, I think understand
I'm hesitant.
It.
I'm hesitant.
I get it. Mm-hmm. I understand it. But at the same time, Seattle is 23rd in defense this year.
Yeah.
The defense is not good.
I think the Eagles were 24th.
The Eagles were 29th in pass defense and 20th overall.
I think they're 21st right now. Last
they moved back a spot because the Niners cooked them so badly.
Yeah.
But the Niners or the Eagles, or the Seahawks. I'm losing all track of teams. The Seahawks.
It's all these bird teams.
There's too many birds.
Then they play the Cardinals.
I know.
Then the Ravens.
Oh, yeah. We got to get your guy on for the Cardinals show.
We will. We'll get Tyler on.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll reach out to Tyler over
AZ
Sports.
You got a little insight on the Cardinals.
I do. Oh. We also have our guy Kyle Ledbetter, who can also talk about the Cardinals
yeah,
as well.
We used him last week.
Yes.
What I do want to add is... The Cardinals won last week. We're doing kind of an NFC West check-in thing here.
Yes.
The Cardinals won last week, which I like. I like that they won because they're going to get a worse draft pick.
Now. Yeah, no Maserati Marv for them. No.
That's unfortunate for them.
I mean, they still might. So they have the 3 pick as it stands right now.
It's going to be a very interesting draft.
They're 3
especially
and 10.
If 2 QBs go first. But that's
what's really funny is that the Cardinals are trying to win games, whereas a lot of the other teams aren't.
Well, the Cardinals are talented enough to win games.
And the Cardinals
they
on the
proved that
schedule.
Early on in the season.
Yeah, they're off this week. Their bye week is this week for some reason. They have the Niners, the Bears, the Eagles, and the Seahawks. The Bears game, they're probably going to win.
It's a toss up.
The Bears. Look, Matt Eberflus might get fired on that game. You never know.
The Cardinals did lose by like 30 points to the Rams too, so like they're capable of laying some eggs.
They are, but I just think that they're gonna. I think they're gonna be a 4-win team.
Are you guys watching Hard Knocks at all with the in season stuff?
I've seen a couple highlights.
I haven't watched Hard Knocks in 3 years.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything from it. I have not seen a single frame of that.
Okay, I see it on social media. That's
I did see the one thing where like they hyped up Jalen Phillips's comeback story just for him to tear his Achilles.
Oh, that's brutal, man. That is exactly what we said, the exact same thing.
We did.
That is exactly what happened with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I mean, they hyped him up and immediately.
Aaron's not coming back.
Oh, yeah.
This season. Can we stop that?
Well, that's already done because the Jets might mess around and get a top 5 pick.
Yeah.
Good for the Jets. Say on that.
I guess. Whatever.
But yeah, the
Aaron,
Cardinals.
I saw Aaron on. Man, we're going around. Whatever, dude.
We're
having fun.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
We're having a great time.
It's our show. I'm always getting yelled at for doing, not saying what I should, or, you know, ruining things. So,
oh my gosh.
I'm going to ruin this show, too.
Aaron Rodgers.
I saw Aaron Rodgers. Shout out. Also, Aaron Rodgers. I think we were born in the same hospital. I'm sure I've said that on air.
What hospital?
I'm not saying that.
Okay.
But it's in Chico, California.
Okay.
We grew up, the bar my dad used to work at is okay. The one he got to win the Barstool Bar of the Year, whatever.
Oh.
But so we have ties with Aaron Rodgers no matter how much people don't like. I like Aaron Rodgers from, you know, shout out Chico. I saw him on McAfee today, and I'm in the production room, so we don't have audio, but I'm watching him, and there he's standing up, and McAfee's, like, inspecting his Achilles and stuff. It's weird. He's just up there, so, like, they're really hyping his comeback.
They are. They're trying to put the conspiracy theories out there. You know how much Aaron loves those. Aaron's not coming back this season. There's really no reason for him to come back this season. The Jets aren't good. They just got rid of Tim Boyle, and they just signed Brett Rypien, who isn't good. He played, I think, for the Broncos this season and was horrible.
That's 2 stops ago now at the Broncos. He's played with the Rams and the Seahawks
that's
since
right.
then.
That's right. I can't keep track sometimes, okay?
He is a journeyman with a capital J.
It's been the year of the journeyman quarterback, all right? Josh Jobs came back down to earth.
Okay, I have a whole thing about this. I don't want to do this, but, like, quarterbacks get hurt like this every year.
No, it's been consecutive, though. Like, just consecutive.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. I think last year there was, like, 60-something quarterbacks. That started.
Yeah.
This year was close. I remember like halfway through the season, I think there were like 48. But you start to run out of quarterbacks.
You do.
To play. So it's like, boy, excuse
we
me.
We did have Skylar Thompson and Josh Dobbs and, you
Jaren
know.
Howell.
It was different at the time, but also Brock Purdy was starting playoff games and he was like Mr. Irrelevant last year. Like,
yeah.
We get to second and third string quarterbacks with half the teams every year.
Fine.
We just then forget about it by the time
it
this
was
year
a bad
around.
Weekend though for injuries. Kenny Pickett went out, then Trevor Lawrence went out, and thankfully Trevor Lawrence just a high ankle sprain.
And Burrow just
went
out. Yeah, so
Burrow was out.
A lot feel fresh. I get it. It feels.
CJ Beathard hurt his wrist. Yeah. It was a weird.
Yeah,
thing.
Anthony Richardson's still been out all season.
Dude, CJ Beathard's back. Shout out to Mr. 2-10.
Shout out to CJ Beathard.
Dude,
he was scrambling last night, and I was confused. I didn't know CJ Beathard had it in him still.
I wasn't able to watch it.
Wasn't he brought in by the Jaguars 2 coaching staffs ago, and he's still there?
Yes,
well,
he was.
Well, it's funny that I don't think Balky was ever the GM with Beathard there, but Balky still got him because Balky's the GM in Jacksonville.
Yes.
So that's a little weird. I think that's coincidence, if anything. But
anyways, we only have a few minutes left on the show. Let's get back to Niners Seahawks.
The Niners Seahawks.
So I have some stats for you.
Okay.
Because we talked last week about defense and the Eagles being a bad defense. The Niners exposed them 456 yards on the road against Philadelphia, despite having a negative six first quarter. Well, the Seahawks are almost as bad. They are almost as bad as the Eagles. The Seahawks in passing defense, they are 23rd. In rushing defense, they are 21. In scoring defense, they are 25. In red zone defense, get this, 24. So right there in the 20s for every single statistical category on defense for the Seahawks. Translation, they're not very good at defense, as was apparent when they benched Tariq Woolen for not being able to tackle Juwan Jennings.
Oh, man, Juwan, two weeks in a row where he's had some...
well, he's a little boy, these corners.
Pretty great breakaways. So
did they say that was his first touchdown of the year?
No.
I think they said it was his first touchdown of the year on Sunday.
I feel like that was his second, but I could be wrong. Anyways, let's get a final score in. Let's kind of see. I think so, dry game. Weather shouldn't really be a factor.
It's just going to be cloudy. It's not going to be raining.
Last Niners-Seahawks game, I know a factor was the critical factor for the Seahawks was special teams. I think you have to keep an eye on that again.
You do.
Watch out for something stupid. Maybe something that was glossed over last game was that Ronnie Bell fumbled a punt out of bounds.
It went out of bounds.
He muffed
though.
It. I know it went out of bounds, but you still want to catch it no matter what.
Debo was
you
also
know
doing
he's getting lectured.
Debo was also doing kick returns. So that kind of told you how confident they were in Ronnie Bell doing the kick return stuff.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is that if Ray Ray's not back, that's something to watch out for.
Why do you think he won't be back, though?
His rib?
It was a maintenance thing for him. It's a pain tolerance thing for him.
Well, I didn't think he was going to be back because I'm not very smart and I don't pay attention.
I believe he will be back this week.
I'm a stupid idiot.
But I also believe he would play against the Philadelphia Eagles. So it really comes down to, because he has no broken ribs, it's more of a rib bruise, contusion.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, almost as bad from what I understand, because any movement.
It hurts like
and then
hell.
Catching a ball like...
Oh, dude.
You want to catch the ball with like your arms and your chest when you're...
Yep.
But also the ball
it
goes
spins,
crazy.
And the point hits your rib and it hurts.
It hurts.
Ray McLeod should be back this week.
Okay, that's great.
Jordan Mason as well is okay. Other people like that. It's really the question of, is Eric Armstead going to play? That's a big one. Then Spencer Burford as well has a knee issue. The other knee, not the knee he already injured, so that's fun.
I'm not trying to push those guys.
No.
This has been a debate with the CMC thing earlier in the year, like usage rate. But if they're not 100%, I don't really want to see them out there. If they're at a significant enough chance for injury.
Especially considering Feliciano has been a very serviceable
backup. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Backup.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And it's Seattle. Their pass rush is not good.
Mm-hmm.
Their pass rush...
No, they're not good.
...is not good.
No.
So...
Scores. Your turn.
No, you go first.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, I'd like you to
All
go
right,
first.
I'll go first. Niners 27, Seahawks 17.
Oh, they wouldn't cover.
Yeah. I did say watch out, you know, be worried. I wouldn't be surprised if the Seahawks beat that spread and it's a close game. With that said, San Francisco, 35.
Wow.
Seattle, 9. No touchdowns for Seattle, all field goals.
What?
Oops, I'm kidding. No,
I just hate the Seahawks. I didn't forget about you, Seattle.
Obliteration
After
alert.
All this Eagles stuff, I still hate you, Seattle. I still hate you. And I won't forget. I hate the Seattle Seahawks. Don't get it twisted.
There you go. Nate hates the Seattle Seahawks. I think they're going to lose as well. I just think the Niners are too talented.
They're pretty good. They're pretty good. Yeah. I like the way they're playing. Keep this up. Stay healthy. Win me a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Do it for me. Do it for me. Is that too much to ask?
Do it for all the Niners faithful.
Yeah. That's not too much to ask. Kyle, John, what's up, guys?
Brock.
Yeah, I mean.
Trent.
Let's do it. Let's win a Super Bowl.
Anyways.
Let's win a Super Bowl.
We're losing
huh?
it. Anyways, Return of the Empire. We got to go up against it. Appreciate you all hanging out. Another episode of Return of the Empire. Milt Fregoso, Nate Littlefield, Kyle Ledbetter, Kayla for joining us. We appreciate you as well. Appreciate everyone in the YouTube. And join us every Tuesday, 6 p.m., 7 p.m., right here on Sacktown Sports. See ya.